from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 12:02 on this Friday afternoon. Mark Melusis with you. It's the Friday midday, taking you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Been a lot of Giants first couple hours. We haven't even got in, and everybody is decked out in Mets uniforms today. You saw Bocas; he's wearing his Carter. You see Hoffman's got his Met attire as well as the Mets, as we discussed yesterday. Didn't say the season was over, but talked about the fact that, you know, the Mets needed to respond in a big-time way. And a couple of layers to the Mets here. Number one, that is not a good, that is a great win yesterday in Arizona. And the fact that you get the big-time at-bat from Francisco Lindor, the big hit by Iglesias, and then the big-time bounce-back save from Edwin Diaz. Because no matter what you talk about with this team, and whether or not they can overcome the, what, three-game deficit they're trailing now, the Braves, that third and final wild card spot in the National League. The Mets are not going to be able to overcome that deficit. And they've got a lot of work to do. And they needed that win yesterday. And they need a huge bounce-back win yesterday. They're not going to be able to do that unless Edwin Diaz is great. And I understand he's had 6 blown saves this year. I understand that he's accounted for 3 losses. I understand where his ERA is. And we've talked about it yesterday at Infinitum. That is a tremendous kind of gut check, bounce back performance by the Met closer in a spot that they needed. Because there is not a Met fan that was not holding their breath, similar to years gone by with Edwin Diaz, was not holding their breath yesterday afternoon after that Iglesias hit. So good job for Diaz. What it also shows you is this. You want to look at the bigger picture. Shows you the impact of the manager, Mendoza. You know, we talk about the culture and how Mendoza talks about relationships and conversations and, you know, the big, you know, asset that, you know, Carlos Mendoza is and what Mendy is as a manager is his ability to connect with players. And that's what made him such a, you know, a good bench coach and such an asset for organizations like the Yankees before he became the manager of the Mets. Well, the fact that the Mets don't allow these kind of losses to fester, you know, they didn't let Sunday fester in San Diego. They bounced back. Nice victory out in Arizona, 8-3. They didn't let the Wednesday night loss and disastrous loss, which might have been one of their, I mean, arguably their worst loss of the season, fester, bounce back with might be their biggest win of the year yesterday afternoon. That says a lot about this team and the culture that has been set down by the Met manager. It really does. And that is a hell of a win. A win that the Mets needed. Tremendous that, you know, Diaz bounced back. Tremendous that you get a big time at bat from Francisco Lindor, who continues to kind of push himself into that MVP conversation in the National League, and rightfully so. I mean, he has been that good for the Mets. I mean, after the first month of the MLB regular season, you can make the argument that he's been the best position player easily in the National League with what he has done defensively and what he has done offensively. He has been brilliant. Awesome win. No other way to cut it. I mean, an absolutely awesome win. Westchester, we go. It's Bruce. It's the fam. What's going on, Bruce?
Yeah, Moose. Love your work both here and on picks. On this matter with the retiring number for the Giants, I mean, honestly, I think it's ridiculous that somebody who's comes in highly touted. I agree, but can you catch a pass? Can you score a touchdown? Where is the chutzpah, the nerve? To ask somebody to turn over a retired number, of course the family. What's the family going to say?
They could say no. They could say no, and they'd be well within their reason to say no.
But forget that. I'm putting the onus on neighbors. He's got nerve. He's done nothing yet. I don't care how highly touted he comes in. Do something. Then maybe say, you know what? I've proven myself. I could contribute to this franchise. Obviously, the gentleman who I was not familiar with. I'm not going to lie. 100 years ago, but clearly he contributed to the Giants' success. What has this guy done so far?
Yeah, this is not, quantifying whether or not Ray Flaherty should have his number retired by the New York Giants. The number is retired. I get the point that you're making, but if the family gives the okay, why is it so troubling?
I'm putting the onus on neighbors.
Bruce, let me ask you this question. So neighbors goes out this year.
Where does he get the nerve?
Well, let me ask you this question. He goes out this year, has 1,400 yards receiving. He's wearing said other number. Pick any other number. I don't care, right? He's wearing another number. And then he wants to go wear
number in the first
and then he go wants to go wear number one, or he asks for permission to wear number one. Then it's okay.
Because he's accomplished something in the
NFL.
There's some rationale that I would say, all right, you've proven something.
I don't think you can have it that way. I think it's either you're offended, should never be asked, or it has nothing to do with whether or not what he has accomplished.
I lean more toward that. Yes, but on top of that, I can see if maybe you've proven you're worthy of retire of subsuming someone else's number. That's what I would say.
Yeah,
prove something first,
Bruce. I don't get into I think numbers and if we want to quantify, I think numbers in Major League Baseball being retired mean a little bit more than numbers being retired in the National Football League. I really do.
Well, it depends on the individual
and the impact of it, right? We got into this conversation. Remember the story with Clint Frazier, 777. Remember all that with the Yankees, right? So you look at neighbors.
Well, you could argue Judge is doing that with 99, but I don't know.
He asked for permission from the family. The family okayed it. However way they got there, they finally okayed it and said, hey, okay, he could wear the number. What is that? Now, if you're a Giant fan, there are a lot of issues with the Giants, right? There are. We've had a number of calls, say, 7 wins, 4 wins, 3 wins. Daniel Jones is terrible. Daniel Jones has the wave of just relevance for the Giants in 2024 and where we are here, the opinions vary greatly. Now, am I really going to get all that upset about Malik Nabers? I got to be perfect. I mentioned it before. I'm not trying to disparage Flaherty. I'm just not. I didn't even know the Giants had number one retired, right? I'm not saying it shouldn't be. It should be, right? What he accomplished, what he did on the field, off the field, everything. Rightful honor for Flaherty, right? If his family, though, says I'm okay with it what is the problem?
The problem, again, starts with neighbors having the audacity, in my opinion, and having the lack of consideration for someone who's obviously contributed to the franchise to the point where the number is retired, and now he comes in having done nothing as of yet.
They don't want to rub
their prize draft pick the wrong way, so they're most likely not going to say no.
What do Flaherty's relatives have anything to do with the Giants?
Doesn't matter. What do Babe Ruth's relatives have to do with the Yankees?
The point being is they don't own the team. They're not trying to appease them. Obviously, they said, okay, that's fine. You can wear number one.
It shouldn't have gotten that far. That's all. Neighbors has, in my opinion, an entitlement aspect that I don't think is justified.
Now we're taking it too far. Now it's an entitlement, right? Now it is. He couldn't wear the college number because Gano wears it, right? And And, you know, so it was a great mystery in terms of what number Malik Nabers was actually going to wear. He ends up wearing number one. They go through the proper channels. They get Flaherty's relatives to give him the okay that he can wear number one. You know, he talks about a great honor. He's going to do the number justice. He's going to wear it with pride, all those things. He called the family, thanked them for being able to wear number one, and now we're all upset about this. I mean, it doesn't, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. Now, you want to be up, the Giants have got a number of different issues, and we've read through the litany of them. I mean, this is not top of the list. Whether or not Malik Nabers, what number he's wearing, when it was being debated about on social media, I don't care. Just go out there and catch touchdowns. Be the dynamic player that I think he's going to be. Malik Nabers is going to be awesome. Now it's this sense of entitlement. They got the okay. The family said okay. And they were well within their right to say no. No, he cannot wear number one. And then you know what? Malik Nabers would have had to have found another number. Let's head out to Branchburg, New Jersey. It's Mark. It's the fan. What's going on, Mark?
How you doing, Mark?
Good, Mark.
I want to talk about the Mets, but I just want to mention what a great player Kyle Manungai is. This guy does not get enough credit. I was at the game yesterday. He's had a tremendous career. I just hope they can keep him healthy this year.
Yeah, I think the offensive line, listen, it's Howard, you know, and they went 6-6 last year. They gave Northwestern a little bit of a tussle. And one other aspect of that game I want to hit upon after the call, Mark. But yeah, I agree with you about Manungai. Last year he had 7 games over 100 yards, former Don Bosco prep star. He's been great. Sam Brown, is a tremendous backup quarterback, a backup running back as well. Curious to see, how the quarterback develops here. The transfer from Minnesota, offensive line's got to be improved. Mohamed Touré's injury, torn ACL, that's a huge loss to that defense. They did what you expected them to do yesterday. They were a 36.5-point favorite against Howard. They win the game 44-7. It was kind of it was a competitive game in the first half, 17-7, but they outscored them 27-0 in the second half.
Right, and as far as the Mets are concerned, I was at the game yesterday for Rutgers, but what a great win. I'm glad Diaz was throwing the ball almost 100 miles an hour. He's got to rely on that fastball more, but that was such a big win.
Yeah, great win. I mean, Mark, it was an afternoon affair, so you could have taken it in and listened to it on the old radio as well, or maybe on your smartphone, but unbelievable victory. I mean, it just was. Tremendous bounce-back win. The Mets take 2-3 in Arizona. You would have signed up for that and the dotted line before that series started. Now, it easily could have been a sweep. It wasn't. But it shows you the testament of this team that they were able to bounce back after that disastrous loss the night before. One more thing on Rutgers here that I wanted to hit upon, which was, the Howard coach, Larry Scott, getting upset at the end of the game. Now, let's put it into perspective here. Like, Howard was paid $425,000. They were asked to go play Rutgers. They know that they're, get beat like a drum. You see this in college football. That money helps, obviously, their athletic department and all those things. Right? I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's just what it is in college football. Right? So, Larry Scott, the head coach of Howard, being upset at the end of that game with Greg Schiano for Rutgers running the football in after Howard turned the football over on downs. Didn't take a knee. Turned the football over on downs with less than 30 seconds to go in the game. And he was upset and said, this is not the way I would handle it. First and foremost, if you listen to, and if you've watched Rutgers teams coached by Greg Schiano at the end of the game, they rarely take a knee. In those scenarios, they rarely do. They weren't throwing the ball. They didn't throw a flea flicker. They didn't do any razzle dazzle. They didn't put anything on tape. They went out there and ran the football. And the young running back, the true freshman, ran the ball in from 11 yards out. Now, that is not running up the score. I've seen SEC teams, playing, really bad football teams or teams that are clearly, where they're, 30, 40, 45, 48-point favorites going into the game where, they're airing it out late in the game. That is not exactly what you saw last night for for the Scarlet Knights. Plus, here's the other thing. The Howard coach was calling timeouts late in the game, down 38-7. Like, why are you calling timeouts? Let the game end. Like, let the game end. The game has been decided. So you are going to call timeouts late in that game, and then you're going to be upset when you meet with the media and tell the media that that's not the way you would handle it, as the Scarlet Knights ran the ball in. Didn't throw it. Didn't run a trick play. Didn't run some razzle-dazzle. There was no fumble rooski. There was none of that. But you were upset that the Scarlet Knights went out there, lined up, ran the football, and your team couldn't tackle the runner. And you're going to be upset that Rutgers ran the score up? I mean, give me a break. Don't call the timeouts! I mean, that's really what you're going to be upset about? You were a 36.5-point underdog in the game. And that was not Rutgers running the score up. They just ran the ball. And you didn't tackle the player. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it really is. And if you've watched Schiano, who has talked about developing players and giving young players an opportunity and talked about the fact that he wants to develop depth on his roster, well, you do know this. If you're going to give him the ball back with 30 seconds to go, less than, you know he's going to run some plays. And he ran the ball. You didn't tackle.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And you're upset, and you're calling timeouts, down 38-7.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes. Time for Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We got a pair of field level tickets to the Bronx Bombers against the St. Louis Cardinals, Yankee Stadium, this Sunday, September 1st. Right now, be the fifth caller, 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And of course, right here, us, which is WFAN. Let's head out to Johnny in Queens, the Fan. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, Mark, I'm a big fan. It's always really great to hear your voice when you're on.
Thanks, Johnny.
I only really dabble gambling with the NFL. I really don't do any other kind of sports.
Yeah, easiest sport to bet on.
I love the NFL.
Yeah, easiest sport to bet on.
All right, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so a month ago, that pro football thing comes out with all the odds.
Yeah.
You have the Giants at 6.5 plus 122. Okay? I look for stuff in my life that are the absolute silver platter. You can talk all you want. All the negativity, I love it. By the way, the line is 110 now. I got it at 122. To me, they're winning seven games. They might win eight, but they're definitely going to win seven. And if you're looking around for a bargain, every year there's one or two morsels. That was one of them. I told all the guys at my job, the Giants are going to win seven games. Everything you bet is usually minus 140, minus, 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 minus.
Yeah.
You're getting 122. It's 110 now, which is fine. But I'm telling you, those are the ones you look for. I heard it as soon as it came out, and I put it in. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, Johnny, I like it. I think they'll get over six. I think they'll get over 6.5. And you, when you bet, it was plus money. It was plus 122. Now it's plus 110 or minus 110.
It's plus 110. I just checked 5 minutes ago before I called, but it was 122.
Nice.
So, you know,
good value. Good bang for the buck.
Yeah, I got a $500 Super Bowl box that I put in every year for the last 20 years. My local bar and story, whatever. So to me, it was, well, I'm betting 400. Plus 122. I'm going to win 5, 10. That's my money. I got a free Super Bowl box this year. I root for the Giants all year now. They're going to win seven games, guys. I don't know where all this negativity is coming from, but
yes.
I love it. Because the more and more, I love it. The more they pounded them and pounded them, like, good. That's
it's like
one
a,
of those bets.
It's like a dreary cloud over East Rutherford. It just is. Everything's negative. Babes can't coach. Shane is lost. This and that. The team is untalented.
I love it.
Everything, right? No, I mean, they come into this year. I mean, conversations about whether or not Dave's will get and Shane will get fired after this season. All of that stuff.
Right. So what I'm saying is that all that stuff is the exact thing you're looking for when you make a bet. This is it. This is the one. And before I go, as far as that Rutgers games go, I never played football. I had a friend that played in high school, in college, and he always said this one line to me for my whole life. You know what? I'll stop scoring when you stop me. That's what he was told when he was a kid playing football. So, you know what I mean? Stop me. I'm going to keep scoring until you stop me. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, I mean, you had a game last night between Colorado and North Dakota State where, amazingly enough, Colorado is still throwing the football with under 2 minutes to go, you know, up 5, 31-26, and oh, by the way, they if they scored there, they would have covered the spread. Not saying that had anything to do with the coaching, but if you happen to bet on Colorado and you laid the 11 last night, maybe you would have been intrigued by that. But Shedeur Sanders, an absolute stud. Hunter, obviously, the 3 touchdown catches. And Deion Sanders is always going to be a national story, coaching the Colorado Buffalo. But I understand in certain instances. Listen, if you've watched enough college football, you've seen instances where teams are just running up the score. I mean, just doing it. And you'll see it at times during this college football season. That was not what that was last night. What that was last night is, a coach that on Howard that, clearly, using timeouts late in the game when the game was decided. Rutgers gets the ball off. You turn the ball over on downs deep in your own end, and Rutgers runs 2 plays and runs the ball into the end zone. That's lack of tackling. Let's head out to North Arlington. It's James. It's the fan. What's going on, James?
Well, thanks for calling on the I called a while ago. We were still talking about the quarterbacks and how it seems to be a lot of issues about how good they are. We have to always think about it. Boomer Esiason talks about it a lot. The practice time has really changed enormous in the NFL. I mean, we talk about the preseason and no one plays, but even during the preseason, they don't really practice. So you have these young quarterbacks that are coming in from all these different colleges, and they are what they are, and we all know there's different levels, and the schedule makes a lot to do about how good you are or how good you're perceived. But the way they practice, when do they really have a chance to learn how to play? I mean, that seems to be a big issue right now in football, because it seems like in the other sports, well, baseball, obviously, there's minor leagues, and so they have a lot of chance to practice before they make it to the majors. Hockey, obviously, has a whole realm of places to play before you play in the NHL. But football seems to be the one sport where you really don't have a chance to practice before you're playing. And obviously contracts and obviously agents want you to make as much as you can, but that doesn't really make you a better player. I mean, is this a thing that we have to look at and sort of figure out.
Well, James, I think there's well, there's a balance though, right? So there's a balance between the way practices are being run now as compared to years gone by. Does that impact the quality of play the first month of the NFL regular season? Undoubtedly. I mean, you look at the first month, teams are still trying to find themselves. We're a ways away from, you know, the padded two-a-days and everything that used to be run, you know, 15, 20 years ago. You know, that's in the mindset of player safety. You know, players obviously don't want to have their careers cut short. There's only so much tread that's on the tire. So, you know, that comes along with that. But is it going to cost you in other areas? Yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily say, well, because of the way that teams practice now, that's leading to a lack of development at the quarterback position. I also think you have to put blame on organizations, too, for not having a game plan for when they draft said quarterback. Like, think about this. Like, the Jets drafted Zach Wilson, and you had their offensive coordinator, as he was going out the door, being relieved of his duties, saying, yeah, we probably have second thoughts of playing him right away. We probably should never have played him right away. That's a team that didn't have a game plan of developing the player.
Oh, and back to number one real quick. If I'm not mistaken, the number one on the Giant player who was retired, I think the Giants were like the Yankees. The Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, they were the first team to ever retire a baseball number, obviously Lou Gehrig. If I'm not mistaken, the Giants, I think, were the first team in the history of the NFL to retire a number. I think he's the first player to have his number retired from any team. So I think that makes the conversation a little bit different.
Yeah, James, I don't know that. Pete, can you look that up? Is Flaherty the first number in the National Football League to have his number retired? Is that true? Yeah?
Found that out yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I always come back to it. Yes, I understand that that adds to it and adds to the conversation. The family, I don't care what pressure. I don't care if you, the family can always just be like, no. No. And I got to be honest with you. Like, if my dad was an all-time great Giant and his number was retired and the Giants called me and was like, you know, rookie wants to wear your dad's number, I'd be like, no. 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 There's always that option. Is there not? I mean, there is. The family said, okay, we're fine. Maybe not initially, but eventually they did. And now Malik Nabers is going to be wearing number one. I mean, it is, and I understand why, you know, old school, I understand why respecting the history of the game. I don't think this is, you know, the goal of the young player or him feeling like something is owed to him. Having, you know, interviewed Malik Nabers draft night out in Detroit, from everything I hear, that is, it's the complete utter opposite. So I look at this and I look at it as something that's pretty cool. You know, I think it's interesting. I think it's something different. I don't know if it's going to be a trend around the National Football League. I'd probably say the answer to that is no. But we're going to see it this year in the Giants' 100th season as they have celebrations all over the place. They're going to have a big event next Saturday, I believe it is, out at MetLife, next Friday, I believe, out at MetLife Stadium, including a 5K for charity. The Giants, you know, asked the family of Ray Flaherty, and they said, yeah, okay, you can wear the number. Let's head out to Stamford, Connecticut. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, hi, Mark. First, I want to say I'm a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of the station. Want to change the tone a little bit, talk about Johnny Gaudreau this morning when I read about his passing. It just broke my heart. My wife and I both went to Boston College. We're class of 98. My son's 15. We go up to Conti Forum and watch a BC hockey game about twice a year. And it's just so sad what happened to him. It's just a terrible tragedy. And I just want to, you know, you say a little tribute to him and his family, and may he rest in peace. And I know the Boston College, I'm sure, will do him right and sure have some type of recognition for him, maybe put his number on their jerseys or something like that, do some video tributes. But what a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, it's hard to really put in properly into context and words. It's you know, it's worse than that. I mean, you have... two young, you know, two children, that are going to grow up without a dad, two sons that were lost, you know, at the hands of somebody that was under the influence. Gaudreau always liked to go back to Jersey each and every offseason. You know, a legendary player in Jersey, legendary player, Hobie Baker winner at Boston College. His sister's wedding was today in Philadelphia. Johnny Gaudreau's wife was due to be the maid of honor. It's just, it's really, really, it's an awful story. You know, when I first saw it this morning, you know, I hugged my kids a little bit closer. You know, and it's just, your thoughts and prayers, your heart go out to the Gaudreau family. I can't imagine what they're going through right now.
Yeah. It's terrible. Thanks, Mark.
You got it, Chris. Appreciate the call. And, it was something that, you know, you had to read, and there's sometimes when you read a story and you have to read it twice or three times to actually believe what you're reading is real. You know, it's just such a terribly tragic and sad story.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Quarter one, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Belmar, New Jersey, we go. Tommy, the Fan. What's going on, Tommy? Tommy?
What's up, Moose?
What's up, Moose? How are you doing?
Okay, man. Hey, dude, first of all, you know, I know we're all going to make fun here, but, dude, that kid and his brother, I'm all thoughts and prayers, dude. That's insane. I feel so bad for him. But,
yeah, Tommy, there's no transition from that. It's awful.
No.
Like Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau both being killed by, you know, somebody under the influence last night as they were riding their bikes down in South Jersey. And the families and the loved ones and his children. It's just awful.
Moose, I just heard this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And you know, I'm a halfway NHL. It doesn't matter to a human being. It doesn't matter what they were doing, you know?
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's just, God damn. But, so, yesterday, I tried to get on with, I think it was Marash, and they were yapping about, should we, you know, about Flaherty and how they brought a retired jersey back. And Mirage is like, well, bring back number three for the Yankees. And I'm like, Mark, did you, like, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Somebody paid $24 million for the jersey that he called the shot at Wrigley Field, by the way, at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
$24 million. Now, so Jason Dominguez walks out with number three. What happens to this guy's money? Come on, man. I mean, retire the number.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a great comparison, to be honest with you. That wouldn't work in a court of law if you were in a debate team in high school. Because the historical impact of that, the fact that he was wearing that jersey that day of the called shot, that's why that jersey has the value in who Babe Ruth was. I don't think all of a sudden the value of that jersey would all of a sudden go down if Jason Dominguez wore number three. Like, but this is, like, this leads into everything we've talked about throughout the course of the day. Everything is negative. Like, everything is negative. Ray Flaherty's family said, okay, you can wear number one. They said it was okay. So let me ask you, if they said it's okay that Malik Nabers can wear number one, why does it bother you so much? Why does it bother you? Why does it anger you? Because it's a retired number? I mean, there are Giant fans out there that didn't even know, I'm sure. I mean, they had no idea who Ray Flaherty was before this very moment. Before this story came out. Frank in Kearney is up next to the Fan. What's going on, Frank?
Moose. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Frank. What's on your mind?
I got one thing I got to say about the Malik Neighbors number situation. You know, did he offer any monetary, any cash to the guy's family?
Frank, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not sure.
Or would that make it,
if they offered Jersey, you know, whatever, if he gave him $100,000, $150,000, would that make it better? See, that can't change the argument. If you're going to be a true argument, it's got to be a case of, well, the number's retired. It should have nothing to do with what the financial impact is for the family.
I get it, but the guy, that guy Ray Flaherty, he'd probably make a lot of money back when he was playing 90 years ago. So, if anything, that money could, you know, go to the family trust or whatever. His grandkids can enjoy it, whatever, a couple of dollars from this old neighbor's number situation.
Yeah, well, money can help everything. I mean, even when you have money, you want more money. Everyone wants more of more. So I have no idea where they are financially as a family. I got to be honest with you. I have no idea. I can't speak intelligently on the relatives of Ray Flaherty and where they are and what they're doing with their lives. Here's what I do know. The thing that matters is this. They were asked. They gave the okay. They were asked. They gave the okay. They said it's fine with them. It is fine with them. Why does it bother you? Why is the Giant fan now? This is the massive talking point. Because why? Malik Neighbors asked. Do you think when he was drafted, he had any idea that number one was retired? He probably didn't even know Graham Gano was on the team. David in Michigan's up next to the fan. What's going on, David?
Hey, Moose. Great to hear you. Love your show. And whenever you're on.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it, man.
I just want to say something real quick about the Neighbors thing. Can we screen out the morons on this topic, please? Because if I got a call from John Mara that Malik Neighbors wanted to wear my grandfather's or great-grandfather's number, retired in the 30s, when Roosevelt was president, and nobody really remembers my grandfather. So now, and I happen to be a journalist, so this is the way I think. So I would write a story about what my grandfather meant to me, what my grandfather meant to the Giants and to football. He was a longtime coach. It conjures up a re-look at this guy and brings his... They're talking about wearing number one on their uniform sleeves in homage to Flaherty.
Yes.
So the morons, please step off, okay? And that's all I want to say.
Yeah, you got it, David. What else?
All right. I want to say something about Daniel Jones. The only thing I'm more sick of hearing about than Malik Neighbors' number is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the best option that the Giants have to win football games. And you know when he won't be? When they acquire, either through the draft or free agency, somebody who the coaches and general manager believe gives them a better chance to win every game. Will the Jones haters please give it a rest? Next weekend is the opener against the Vikings. Be excited. Play ball. I'm sick of the offseason. Let's play ball and play the game.
Well, it's going to be here before you know it. You know, I want to enjoy a little Labor Day weekend a little bit before, as much as I possibly can. I go take the kids to go get haircuts tomorrow morning, 9:30. That should be a scene. But enjoy the holiday weekend. But yes, football right around the corner. Thursday, Friday night, next weekend. And you got Giants and Vikings. We'll be back on the airwaves for the Football Sunday show next Sunday. Looking forward for that for another year, another edition of doing that. So it's going to be an absolute blast and an absolute fun to do. Yes, Daniel Jones. I don't like calling callers. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. So nobody's an idiot. I appreciate everybody that calls and everything like that. So don't say that. But here's the thing, that when you look at Jones, unquestionably, there is not a doubt he is the most talented quarterback in the room. That's it. I mean, end the discussion. All the Tommy DeVito fans, he's not close to Daniel Jones talent-wise. He's just not. There's not another quarterback in that room that's more talented than Daniel Jones. Now, we could debate about what he is as a quarterback, and I understand that debate has raged on. The amount of money he's getting paid, the percentage of the cap, everything that we've discussed about with Daniel Jones, he's got a big proven year. He's going to be given every opportunity this season to prove the naysayers wrong and to go out there and be successful. Will he? Well, we're all going to watch. I mean, we're all going to watch. The offensive line, if it stays healthy, should be better this season. Let's head out to Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's Jeff. It's the fan. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Moose. How are you?
Good,
you
Jeff.
Know, this whole thing with the numbers, if I remember correctly, Derek Jeter took Frank Crisetti's number, which I don't know if was retired at the time, but Crisetti was an all-time Yankee. And there didn't seem to be this uproar over, Derek Jeter taking the number before he ever proved himself.
Yeah, but number two was not retired.
Right, but I think they eventually retired it with Crisetti in mind also. Like, the Rangers retired Graves' number, which I don't think should have been retired. And they did Bathgate. They did the same thing with, I believe, Brad Park and Brian Leach. You know, hopefully the next guy they do retire is Jean Rattel, even though he did end his career at the Rangers, unfortunately. But, you know, this whole thing, listen, neighbors gets the permission from the family, you know, so be it. Then let him do it. And I don't think he wasn't looking to give them any money. And I don't think they were looking to get any money, because that would have been really pretty sleazy on both ends if they did that.
But, Jeff, you see guys coming from college all over the place that go into the NFL. Somebody, a veteran, is wearing their number. And they give them, a Rolex, $20,000, whatever it might be, in order to get that number, right? We've seen that, right? So it's not like it does not happen. I'm not going to indict or criticize neighbors one way or the other. All I do know is this, is that the family gave the blessing. If the family gave the blessing, you know, as a Giant fan, on the list, on the laundry list of concerns, right, as we lean negative with Big Blue, and we have this entire offseason, right, we just do. Everyone wants to, continue to poke, right? So you lean negative of the Giants. Now it's a case of, I'm going to be irate and upset that Malik Nabers is wearing number one because Ray Flaherty had the number retired, rightfully so, even though he asked for permission to wear the number, and the family, the surviving family of Ray Flaherty said A-okay. I think David had a good call saying, you know what? Now you're going to learn even more about Ray Flaherty now than he ever did before. He's not wrong.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.